Seeding the thrills, priming the fields to dig down deep.
Welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Show Recap Podcast. Ty John here. Pretty much going to exclusively be talking about my newest single, which is currently out, called The Siege, Tour Guide of a Good Time. You can find that anywhere you stream. Kind of a really important song to me. I had a very close friend pass away, and so I guess that's what this one's all about. Guess start with the name. The song's called The Siege. Obviously a little bit of a play on words there. I used to call him Siege. He had many nicknames, but that was kind of the one that I gravitated towards, I suppose. And so The Siege, I guess I was thinking, is just like it's kind of like an attack. It's really like a surrounding and then attack. And I guess the idea is that he would do that for good times. Like he would, you know, he was like the parenthesis, I guess, in the song is tour guide of a good time. He's always looking for sieging a good time. You know, it's kind of his life. I guess that thought kind of popped in my head. So that's what I went with the title. And yeah, I don't know. It's been a little bit of a tough, I don't even know, a month or so. CJ was a really good friend of mine. I knew him since middle school. Good friends with the guitar player in the old Unemployed Architects band, one of the first iterations, Eric Davis. And that's, I think, who introduced me to him. And he had, you know, he would come to our youth group, and I would play guitar in that band with several of the members of the later iteration of the Unemployed Architects. And, you know, so I'd known him through that for a long time, and he knew, like, the music, and he'd kind of seen my whole kind of progression, I guess, and throughout high school, always a good friend, always around, always, I think he was a year younger, but, you know, he was in our friend group. He definitely was there most of the time, and a lot of the memories I have from high school, and, just an overall good dude, and I guess that's what this one's all about. Eventually, he had moved out to Colorado, and we had done, or we had been wanting to do some tours out there. A buddy of mine got married out there, so we had an excuse to go, and I found a couple spots that would have me, Lo and I, and eventually Dave, and he was just always there. I would always hit him up, let him know when we were going to be. He would always, you know, drop everything to make us have a good time. The only times I'd ever been to Red Rocks, which was one of the coolest concert venues I've ever been to, he was kind of the catalyst behind all of that. And he would find us places to stay. A lot of times at his place in Georgetown, him and Mitch and Bryce, and yeah, I don't know, I just, and for the funeral, I guess that phrase just kept rolling around in my head, that tour guide of a good time. That was part of the inspiration. I just kept coming back to that line. The first time we went out to Colorado, he got us tickets to the Local Natives, one of my favorite bands, especially around that time, Lo and I, and they were co-headlining. We played a show at Odell Brewing Company right before, and hightailed there. Unfortunately, the Local Natives did play first, so we did miss some of their set, but we caught a good amount of it, and it was just a crazy experience, you know, in the mountains, and that venue is just amazing, because when you're up at the top, when you get there, you see, like, the different cities. There's, like, three cities, I think, like, Boulder and Denver, and pretty nuts when you walk in there for the first time, because a lot of the concert venues that a lot of artists shoot video out there, and it, you know, it pretty much just looks at the stage. Every once in a while you get a shot from the stage, but never really does it justice. I never really understood why every artist I know has done a concert video out there, but then you go there and you're like, oh, that's why, because it's amazing. Because then when the sun goes down, you have, you know, the crazy city skyline. You have the crazy stars because you're up in the mountains. You got like a nice mountain breeze. It's very intense. And then Portugal the Man was the other band. And, you know, CJ was just there to help us kind of navigate our way through being in Colorado a lot of the time. After that show, we stayed at CJ's in Georgetown, like I'd mentioned. And he was like, yeah, we'll just, you know, drive after the show to my place, which I didn't really realize was like 40 minutes. And up in the mountains, and it was, you know, after midnight, and pretty wild drive ultimately. And so I was like, you know, white knuckling and lack of sleep and all of the above pretty much. And we got back to his place and we were like kind of hungry. And I think first he showed us around, like walked around outside for a little bit, just pretty much picturesque little mountain town, Georgetown. He ended up making us quesadillas because we were hungry. We hadn't eaten and he just kept making them. We just kept eating them, stayed up really late, just kind of catching up and all that. And then the next day, he helped us shoot a video, which is on YouTube. It's Howlin' Bones. I think he's in a couple shots of that, as he was so kind to show us around. And we went up, like, the big mountain pass in Georgetown. Second year, we went to Jason Mraz, which we were pretty late to that one. It was, like, the only show that seemed... Like, I liked Jason Mraz when I was in high school. It was a little bit more of a boy band feel when we got there, but... like kind of dance moves and whatnot, but you know, he's talented. They had the hand percussionist play, which we were pretty excited about just because he hadn't been playing with him for a long time. So we saw a couple songs with the hand percussionist, and we had been playing with the hand percussionist at that point. The third time he didn't make it to Red Rocks with us, but he helped us, you know, figure out how to get tickets and stuff. And then it was Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, which poured rain and was postponed and delayed and all that, but still a really good show. And actually previous to that, we had stayed at CJ's place, and I don't even think he was there that time, but he met us for our show the Tuesday after. I guess Evergreen was the town. Lake Evergreen was the lake that's right next to it. And him and Mitch and Ashley, they said they were coming, but we weren't really sure. You know, they're always a little bit of a wild card, but they did show up, and it was definitely a relief to see some familiar faces. Kind of a weird show. We did like a one mic, Lo and I, and Dave had already made his way back to Illinois at that point. It was just kind of an acoustic show, and we had walked around the lake during the day. We'd saw a bunch of elk, which was pretty crazy, some mountain goats, and it was a pretty cool little town. And after, which I'll get into this in a little bit more depth later, but we ended up at the balcony of the bar just kind of playing some acoustic songs after our set with Siege and a couple other people. And then they were all like, we should go to Lake Evergreen. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I saw a bunch of signs there earlier that said, you know, they close at when it gets dark. Like I said, I'll get into that a little bit later because there's more of a story with that. I don't know, he just always dropped everything and always was there to make sure we had a good time. You know, I heard about his passing, and pretty crazy story from what I gather. It's like second and third hand, but you know, he was in Ghana, I guess, for a wedding, and got clipped by getting out of a taxi or an Uber. Obviously, it was like took the wind out of me a bit. I don't know that it really set in for a while. Well, until the funeral, I think, was when it really... So the day before the funeral, I had a show. Lo and I went back pretty late to Pontiac, and a bunch of people were at a couple of friends of ours, and we went to their place. It was cold outside. We ended up hanging outside till like almost 5 in the morning, just kind of catching up. John Rainbolt was there, and he was telling... It was his brother's place. And he was telling us this story about how he went skydiving with CJ. And it was like a really rough day, and they'd been doing some stuff all day. And pretty crazy experience. And then he got to the ground, and he didn't know where CJ was. And out of nowhere, he hears a yee-yee. And right when he did it, he did such a good impression of it. It was like, oh, CJ's call. Like, he did that noise all the time. Apparently, finding out a little bit later after writing the song and everything, that that was like the roll call for the Davises. You know, if they were at a concert, they could always find each other. And it was some reference to, it's called the turtle call, I guess. So it was like some reference to a YouTube video. I had no knowledge of that. So when he did that, I was just like, oh, that's CJ. And then the funeral, I mean, it was just a tough one. It was, it really set in how big of an impact he had. And I'd heard they were doing services out in Colorado. And, it was like everybody I knew. I mean, he was a friend to everyone. Everybody knew him. Everybody loved him. And there was a couple moments. But the couple of the moments that were the biggest were they played the song Purple Rain by Prince. And CJ, I remember a couple times him trying to kind of explain Prince to me. I don't know that I ever totally have gotten it, but I remember sitting around their kitchen table, the Davis's table, and him playing some songs and telling me why Prince was so great. And so they did like this piano arrangement, and I kind of lost it. And at the end, they played the actual song, and everybody was walking out. We had gotten there a little bit late, so we sat in the very back. Everybody, you know, we were the last people because they had to do the first rows first all the way back. And I hear from outside that call again, the yee yee, but a bunch of people doing it. And I was just like, ah, that's CJ. So then we stayed up late that night and hung out with everybody again and kind of reminisced a bit. I got home the next day, you know, I was feeling it pretty hard. And I just was like, I need to sit down and try to write something to see what happens. And the whole song just poured out in one setting. And there was a spot in the song that, I don't know, you call it a post-chorus, I guess. And I was just thinking, like, I could do some oohs or some ahs or something. But I kept that sound, that CJ call kept coming back to me. So I was like, well, I need to do kind of like my musical interpretation of that. So that's what I ended up and did. I had never really made that noise before with my face. So since John had done such a good job of it, I texted him and asked him if he wouldn't mind recording it on like a voice memo and sending it my way. He did. That's kind of what I mimicked. So you hear in the song, there's actually those turtle calls during that time, kind of a percussive version, and then kind of my melody version of it. So I thought that was hopefully a nice tip of the hat. I mean, the whole song is hopefully just trying to express how good of a dude he was. It's hard to say was. I mean, in the whole song, I wrote it all in present tense because it doesn't feel like he's gone. Couldn't bring myself to say, he was a tour guide of a good time. You know, in my mind, he still is. So I figured I'd get into the lyrics. The first line is where the title kind of comes from, the sieging the thrills. You know, I just feel like that was him. You know, always on the lookout for a good time, always attacking a good time. And then priming the fields, like getting things ready to have a good time. Digging down deep. And then the next line is, my heels dug down while you were crowned king of taking the leap. So that's just a reference to, like, I stayed in Illinois, whereas he was an adventurer, you know. He went out and he had a lot of experience on those good times, so, and how to have them. So he would always, you know, he'd always show us how to do it, pretty much. And the next line, you brought the light to all those sunless nights, and those nights I get to keep. So that's just all the good times that he just lit up a room when he walked into it. He was always, you know, pretty smiley. And the chorus, you know, you're a tour guide to a good time. It's that same phrase that I just kept ringing in my head. The next one, I can only find the pictures of you smiling in the middle of my mind. I kept thinking that during the funeral and after when I was talking to people about Siege. I was just like, I can only see him just like cheese and hard in my mind. And that's kind of like the main picture of him I have in my head. So I guess that's where that line comes from. And the next one just kind of continues that thought, a perpetual picture frame. And then that line, the next line is, there's so many out in Colorado that won't forget your name. And that's just, you know, he casted such a wide net, which I say that later too. He just had so many people that knew him and loved him and thought he was an awesome dude. And he was, is. So, you know, there's so many out in Colorado that won't forget your name. I guess that's what I'm trying to say there. And the mountains in my mind, I think of all the time, won't be the same. And that's just, you know, every memory I have of going to Colorado, first time seeing mountains, all that was just, always had him around, you know, he was always there. So, got the Yee's part, and that's, like I said, that was just the CJ call that I just kept coming back to. Anytime I hear that noise, that's the only thing I think of. So then the next verse goes, you casted a wide net that no one will forget. So I, like I said earlier, when I said that Colorado line, you know, and just at the funeral, how many people were there that hadn't seen in forever, just brought, I mean, it was like the whole town of Pontiac. So the next one, won't forget the days you led us through the maze. You kept our smile on no matter the pylon. So no matter how stressed out we were, especially in those Colorado tours, because, you know, stressful driving in the mountains and trying to get to shows and late nights. And he was just always, you know, a good energy to have around. The next line was kind of that night after the funeral. I was hanging out with my buddy Trev, who was in town. You know, lives in Texas, so I came from Texas for the funeral. And I only got to see him for a few hours that night. But, you know, CJ was definitely a mutual friend of ours. And he told me how he got this tattoo that was kind of a tip of the hat to Siege that was like a clock. And he was saying, you know, his timing was always a little wonky, but, you know, it was his time. And so the next line, your clock was always off, but you still had the time to talk. And maybe not best to fall on the exact schedule, but he was there when he needed to be. He was just always there. And you were never lost, always your own boss, and time off for you to keep. So that's just saying, like, he just always seemed like he was kind of in charge, master of his domain. No time off for you to keep is like, he made a point to try to, like, have a good time and have everybody around him have a good, like, he, like I said earlier, he would drop everything to take us around to cool spots and do cool stuff. So, I mean, he would do that for anybody. So it was just like, you know, it was a lot of work to some extent. So it wasn't like necessarily his time, but he was so into showing people, you know, a good time. And then there's like this bridge part, which is kind of saying a similar thing. Forever you found a way to make every single day an adventure we'd want to take. Yeah, I don't know if we would have went on nearly as many adventures, especially around Colorado, if we weren't friends with Siege. This last one, so I said I would talk about this before the last chorus. That night at Evergreen Lake, where I was thinking, like, oh, the hours, say, when it's dark, you know, the park's technically closed. Mitch and Siege were just like, nah, it'll be fine. That's just kind of how, you know, we'll roll with it. We'll see what happens. And, I think they went and got like a case of beer at the gas station or something, and then we went to Evergreen Lake, and it's dark, and we're in this cool mountain town, and, you know, unfamiliar to us, but we were just in a good spirit. We just played a show and hanging out with some good friends, and then so we got to the lake, and we're walking, kind of getting close to the actual lake part. I think we got a little bit, and there was this golf course right next to the lake. And we were like close to, getting close to the water, and all of a sudden, like, three cop cars pull through the golf course, like on the green, and we're like, holy shit. And I don't have a lot of good experiences with cops, so I'm always a little weary. I kind of get a little closed off, I think, or a little nervous around police. And the line is, remember the time you talked our way out from the cops with riot gear at Evergreen Lake. So, I mean, these cops, there were, I don't know, three or four of them or something, and they all had riot gear on, and Lo and I were just, like, big-eyed, like, didn't know what we were going to do. We're like, oh, we're definitely going to be in trouble. How is this going to turn out? And then just classic Davis's Siege and Mitch. I mean, they just talked their way out of it, you know? Like, they have kind of a way of doing that, you know? They have a way of just making people feel easy, at ease. And I clammed up, and I didn't say a whole lot. I just kind of let them do the talking. Apparently, what we found out later is that they thought we were some high school kids that were, like, going to smoke weed by the lake and almost just trying to scare us to an extent, is what Siege and Mitch had got out of the police officers. And they ended up... So, I mean, we were just completely, like, in awe of the situation. And by the end of it, the cops were just like, yeah, you guys can hang out, you know, just clean up after yourselves. And totally cool. And then they just drove away. And it was just, like, so crazy to me. But, I mean, there's a lot of situations like that where they just know the right things to say. And I don't know, it's classic. So I felt like I had to give the tip of my hat to that part of Siege in the song. So I don't know, I guess the goal is just to try to remember how awesome of a dude CJ is, and tribute to him, and hopefully other people can relate to it a little bit. I mean, I definitely wrote it through tears and have sang it through tears a few times, and trying to get it a little bit more solid on the performance front. But the song really means a lot to me, and CJ really meant a lot to me. So I hope that it does him justice to some extent. And if the song's good at all, it's only because how good of a guy CJ was. So anyway, so that song is out. You can check that out. There's going to be some music videos and such kind of around the same time as this goes out, so you can check that stuff out if you're interested. But yeah, that's pretty much it. As always, I appreciate anybody who takes the time to listen. Definitely not someone I will forget. But anyway, see you next time.